awesome. Thank you so much, Travis, for that socially distanced greeting. We're going to have some fun today. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a great time, especially tonight. Tonight's going to be a completely different comedy experience with some laughs, and I'm doing this new thing where I break out a chair, which I haven't done before, but I'm super excited about it. You don't know what I'm talking about. You just got to be there. So, we're at church. We're probably going to laugh. You're probably going to laugh. If you don't laugh, that's okay. I already got a check. So it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So there's two verses of scripture that's going to apply to what I'm talking about today. So what I want you to do, if you can, write them down. And then later today, go ahead and read them. And I think they're going to pop in a new way as a result of what we talk about today. So those two verses of scripture is Jeremiah 29, 11. And then also John 10, 27. When you hear these stories and the stuff I'm going to share, I think it'll pop in a new way. You'll be like, oh. You probably won't sound that way when you say it. You might have a higher pitched voice, like, Like, I don't know, but it should be some sort of revelation, hopefully. I want to say what's up to everybody online. I see you. I want you to know that I recognize the fact that you're there. We're going to have a great time. If you can see me, you're watching online, wave at me right now. If you can see me, if you're watching online. Why are people here waving right now? This is not online, people. This is real life. So we're going to have some fun. It's going to be a blast. The fact that we get to laugh in church is amazing to me because when I was a kid, laughing at church was illegal. I remember one time I laughed. My grandmother used to force me to go to this church. One time I laughed because this lady was jumping around and her wig fell off. I'm 7 years old. I started laughing. My grandmother would pinch and twist. I can understand a pinch. You going to twist? That's the devil right there. I didn't say it out loud, but that's what I was thinking. Laughing in church, like, what good father doesn't want to hear his children's laughter in his house? So we actually get to laugh. It's going to be dope. It should be fun. So this is my experience growing up. My grandmother used to take me to church. This is what I thought church was about. My grandmother would take me to church, and my shoes were like two sizes too small. And then she had the shoehorn that she would use, and now my feet would be in church last 6 hours. It lasts like 6 hours, and we go in the basement and eat a sandwich and come back up. I'm like, that was miserable. It was at halftime or something. I didn't understand what was going on. And a dude on stage, he was angry at everybody. I remember thinking, why he's so mad? And I figured out at 7 years old, he was mad because he had some phlegm that was caught in his throat. Because at the end of every sentence, he would always try to get it out. He'd be like, the Lord said, act like a. It was a black dude who was preaching. I don't know if you understood that part or not. Yeah, I was like, not all black people do that, but this dude was, and he had a Bible in his hand. He kept playing like he was going to throw it at people. And people would get, he'd be like, the Lord, and people would be scared. They'd be like, hey, man. I realize now they were saying amen. I didn't know, bro. I was seven. One time we went to church, it was a dead body in the front. Nobody explains to a seven-year-old Michael Jr., it's a funeral, it's not church. I'm thinking, this is going to be a regular occasion. Like, they're using this dude as an example or something. I asked my grandma, I was like, Grandma, what happened to the man in the box? What happened to the man in the box? Her whole explanation was, he in a better place. I'm like, what kind of box did he live in before? It was miserable. I fully, completely did not understand. Like, I really did not understand. My phone is going off. Let me see if this is my kids. If my kids are calling, I always answer. I know it's weird, but whatever. Like, I got five kids, so chances are pretty high. I've answered from the stage before. I'm like, yo, what's up? Because a father should be as available as he can be. But that wasn't them. That was somebody who thinks I'm their dad, so it's okay. I'm just playing. That's not true at all. They're like, who is this on the stage right now? So even now, church is a little weird. I shouldn't say a little weird. You ever go to a church and they won't let you in right now because they're praying? They're like, you can't go in right now. They're praying. I'm like, you think God gonna lose focus because we're moving around? Is that? It doesn't make any sense. So 14 years old, instead of forcing me to go to church, my grandmother did something different. Instead of forcing me to go to church, she gave me an option. She said, would you like to go to church? I was like, well, let me think this over, grandmother. No. I ain't going to church. Why would I go? That stuff was miserable. So me and my friends just hung out, and we were broke. Growing up, we were poor. Like, I was actually being sponsored by a family from Haiti. That's a funny joke, man. Some Christians don't know what to do with that joke. You can't laugh and shake your head. When you don't have no money, you get creative. I remember I wanted an action figure. I was 10 years old. I just wanted an action figure or so. And my dad hands me a box on my birthday. He handed me a box. I opened it up. It was empty. He said, "It's Invisible Man." I played with that thing for 3 weeks, man. Till my brother hid it from me. Couldn't find it nowhere, man. Me and a friend also made a deal that we wouldn't curse anymore. I'm 14 years old at this point, right? We make a deal that we're not going to curse anymore. Let's be real. You don't know about Jesus. You want to feel like a man, 14 years old. As soon as you leave the house, that's what you would do. But we made a deal. We're not going to curse anymore. If he heard me curse, he could hit me in the chest hard as he wanted to, and vice versa. And dude could hit really hard, so I stopped cursing immediately. We played other games that were a little violent, too. Remember the game Slug Bug? If you're from the East Coast, they call it Punch Bug. Here's how the game works. If you see a Volkswagen Bug, you get to hit your friend. Those are all the instructions. In my neighborhood, they would take this game a little too far. They would add to the game. You ever play Uppercut Fire Truck? What about Minivan Body Slam? You ever play that game? There was always one crazy dude in the group who would just make up a game on the spot, like hit you in the throat, tall building. You play too much, man. That's my esophagus. I just said esophagus because that's a funny word. Esophagus. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Esophagus. So I'm 14 years old. It's miserable. I also notice now that I'm having a hard time reading. I knew it before, but I didn't care. But now I'm noticing girls, and I don't want the girls to think something's wrong with me. So I'm struggling with my reading, like struggling. I read fine now, by the way, like the signs that are over the doors that say excite. I can read that. But I used to struggle with my reading, like a lot. I couldn't sound words out phonetically. My mind would start to scramble to figure out what words were because I couldn't just phonetically sound it out like most people did. So I'd have to look at the font size. I would look at the coloring, the positioning, what's in front of it, what's behind it, how people responded to it. I actually came up with 7 different ways to determine what a word was, and I got really good at it. To the point in high school, people didn't know I wasn't really reading. I was just working it out really, really fast. Now, as an adult, I read just fine, but I still have this ability to look at words and people and situations 7 different ways almost immediately. In fact, it's the primary place that I pull my comedy from. So that very thing from my past that looked like it was a handicap, it seemed as if I was dealt a bad hand. God didn't cause it, but he's used it in preparation for what he had for me to do. It's almost as if I was practicing, even though I didn't know I was practicing. Let me say this again so you can hear what I'm saying. That thing from your past, the fact that you never met your dad before, your parents were divorced, you were molested as a child. God did not cause that, but he'll use it in preparation for what he has for you to do. Chances are you've been practicing. Maybe you didn't know you were practicing. I'm here right now to let you know you've been practicing. And for a lot of you guys, it's game time. But you have to be able to hear the coach's voice. Or you'll get in the game, not know what to do, end up practicing some more. So for me, as a result of my practice, I find funny everywhere now. I'm at the airport the other day. This cool little white kid walked up to me, asked for an autograph. I was like, "Cool, what's your name, buddy?" He said, "I'm Tanner." I was like, "No, you're not." Help your neighbor with that joke if they didn't get it. Help them out. Just pray with them or something. I'll find funny all over the place. I was going to say this one for tonight, but I like this for this audience as well. So here's another one that just popped in my mind. People ask questions like, they'll ask, "Where are you from originally?" I'm like, "Originally? Huh. Well, I was conceived in Michigan. Before that, I was with my dad." Yeah. Then there's a swim competition, right? And I won, which is crazy, right? Because I don't even know how to swim no more, man. But I used to be fast, man. Like, I was fast. Explain that to the kids later, please. 26 years old. I hope you're tracking. We went from 7, 14, 26 years old. I moved to New York City. The reason I moved to New York City is because I want to know if I'm funny or not. And in New York, if you're not funny, the way they let you know is they'll say something like, "You're not funny." So there's a club there called the Comic Strip Live that used to have an open mic on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Comedians who are new in town, like myself, would start lining up at like 6 o'clock in the morning so they could do 90 seconds in front of the manager in hopes that they can come back the next month and not have to wait in line. Very hard to get into this club. It's finally my turn to perform, and right before I get ready to get on stage, this comedian named George Wallace walks in. Now, he's very established in the comedy community, which means whoever's next gets bumped and he goes on immediately. I'm next. I know I'm about to get bumped. The manager's already walking over towards me. But no, this is where God shows up for the first time in my life. Well, this is where I noticed him. Manager walks over. He's like, Michael, listen, George Wiles is here. Do you want to go on before him or after him? That never happens. So I go on before him. New Yorkers are laughing. I actually got New Yorkers laughing. Then he comes in. He's laughing as well. And he says to me, you're funny. You're clean. He's like, why don't you curse? Let me ask that question. Why don't you curse? I was like, I don't know. What if my grandmother walk in or something? My grandmother wasn't coming to New York. What else was I going to say? My friend might hit me in the chest? I'm a grown man. So he laughed. He said, you're funny and you're clean. I'd like for you to do a show with me and my best friend in a couple nights. I didn't know who his best friend was. It didn't matter. I was excited and pumped. I get to the show. It's me, George Wallace, Jerry Seinfeld. So we do two shows. I got two standing ovations. I rip. I'm the man. I'm feeling great. At the end of the show, it's a different club. At the end of it, this manager walks over to me and he says, Michael, you had a great set. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to go to church with me tomorrow? Church. I just got two standing ovations. Why are you messing this up right now, man? Back up, man. You're making my feet hurt. I don't want to go to church, man. So I just politely said, nah, I'm cool, man. I ain't going to go to church. And 20 minutes later, his fiance asked me the same question, but she was fine. I'm talking about beautiful. And she had some kind of accent, too. She's like, Michael Jr., would you like to go to church with us? I was like, I was just looking for a church the other day, man. Probably be a church. That's what I need to do. So I go to this church for the wrong reasons, right? I can't even find these people, and I'm sitting way in the back, and this dude comes out on stage, and he's talking about Jesus. That's it. Like Max, like Travis, he's just talking about Jesus. He ain't screaming. He ain't yelling. He don't got no perm. He's just talking about Jesus. Then he did this thing, right, where he did like an altar call. He said, if you want Jesus in your life, all you have to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, raise your hand, come forward. Jesus is yours. And I really wanted to do it, too. Like, I really wanted to, but I was like, nah, I got to read the pamphlet first. Because I knew a couple Christians, and it was creepy. There's some creepy Christians out there. If you don't know any creepy Christians, it's you. Yeah, yeah. Online, it's you. Yeah, it is. Your friends know one. Yeah, yeah, they know one. So I told myself I'd read the Bible first. You don't have to do this before you give your life to Jesus. I just wanted to do it because I didn't know what I didn't know. Like it was, so I didn't even have a Bible. A few days later, I'm at O'Hara Airport, and this lady just hands me her Bible. Like for real. We didn't even exchange words. She just handed me her Bible. So I look at the Bible. First thing I read was the copyrights. Well, it said the Bible was made in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm like, that's crazy. Me too, man. You know? Before that, I was with my dad, but I didn't get into them details. I was like, oh, this is something. So then I'm reading the Bible, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to read. And the thing is, I don't know if you've seen one. That thing was thick. And I'm reading it, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it. And then so I start reading the Bible. I'm going to church. I'm putting in like 12 to 14 hours, because now I really want to give my life to Jesus, but I told myself I'd read the Bible first. I had never read a book from cover to cover, by the way, ever at that point. So I'm reading the Bible, and I got to the part about the job. Like, no wonder. I don't want one of them. This is crazy. So I keep reading, and I'm putting in like 12 to 14 hours a day reading the Bible. That was like 9 pages a day. I was digging in. It took me 36 days to read the Bible. I finished reading the Bible. And then I remember getting to the part of Matthew where it said Jesus died for me. I didn't know till I was 27 years old, for real, that Jesus died for me. I've been to church before. I didn't understand it in a way where it was clear. I've seen the same, but it was just, the messages were mixed. I read it in the Bible right there in Matthew that Jesus died. I was like, wow. Then I turned to Mark, and he died again. I'm like, what is going on? Then in Luke, and then John, he started going back to the garden. I'm like, why are you going back into the garden, Jesus? I wish I wrote that as a joke. I actually thought Jesus died 4 times, for real. I was like, then I finished reading the Bible. I remember finished reading, and I ran up to the altar, like, during the announcements when I got back to church. I'm like, I want Jesus. And I give my life over to Jesus, and now I understand some stuff. I used to just think I was funny. Now I understand that I'm funny for a reason. Like there's purpose behind me having a sense of humor. Just like there's purpose behind the gifts and the skills and the talents you have. Like God has a plan for it. It may not always show up in the church building, but it'll show up somewhere in your life where you can execute that plan. So I have some celebrity friends, some celebrities that you would know who asked me questions about God. And this is when I first became a Christian too. And they're like, explain God to me. I'm like, dude, I can't just explain the Lord. Well, who am I? That would make me God. And I got an ingrown toenail, so you're asking the wrong question. They're like, well, how is it I can do all of these things and I'm doing, you know what I'm doing, and people still say God wants a relationship with me? I'm like, and this is all I could come up with at the time. It's not even close to how awesome God is, but this is all I had. I said, so God is like being in a car with a navigation device. You ever been in a car with a navigation device before? You ever been in a car before? We could start there. You guys ever been in a car? It's like being in a car with a navigation device. If it says go 10 blocks and turn left, then you go 10 blocks and turn right. It doesn't abandon what you're supposed to do. It recalculates what you need to do to get to where you're supposed to be based upon where you are. The only problem is if you keep making the wrong turns, the road conditions will be different. They may be rougher and you're running out of time. So you have to be sensitive to listen to that voice so you can make the right choice about where you're supposed to be. And that voice sounds an awful lot like a coach because you haven't been practicing for nothing. It's game time. So I like to give. Like, I really, really love giving. Like, I just enjoy giving. But I try to, and when I talk about giving, I'm not talking about the tithe. That's not giving. That's called not stealing. I ain't talking about that. I'm the type of person who really, really likes to give. But when I give, I try to never do it out of compulsion or emotion, right? I just try to give when I should, when I feel like God is saying. So I'm at the grocery store the other day, and this lady behind the counter, she was like, I'm buying some food, and the lady was like, hey, would you like to give some money to feed the hungry? I was like, that's what I just did. I'm about to go eat right now. Thanks a lot, I appreciate it. This is a random joke. Y'all thought I was going deep somewhere, didn't y'all? No. So here's what I got time. I got two more stories. I got time for one of them. The story about the first time I ever did the Tonight Show on NBC. And there's a story about the first time I went to prison to do comedy. I have a nonprofit called Funny for the Forgotten, but this is the first time I ever went to prison to do comedy. So we got the Tonight Show or the prison. Which one would you like to hear, ma'am? Prison. Wow, okay. Is that how it is? Okay. We're gonna do the prison joke. All right, cool. So tonight at the show, I'll do the Jay Leno one. That'll be cool. So this is my first time ever going into prison to do comedy. I'm scared for real. Just want to let you know, I'm scared. As soon as I walk in, a warden takes my belt from me. He's like, you can't have a belt. Somebody might try to hang you. Can't they just boo me like regular people? I'm in prison, my pants loose. This is a bad idea, bro. I'm just saying, I got seven different ways to look at this. Like, this is probably not the best move. So I'm walking in this prison, and I'm scared. I walk in, they got bars open, and there's like seven guards around me, and I'm feeling kind of cool. All right, seven guards, all right, why is so many? Why we need this many, right? And we're walking in, and then the guards slowly start peeling away. We get to the last set of bars, it's two guards left with me. They're like, hey, man, this is as far as we go. And they gave me a little black box with a pin in it. And they said, if anyone tries to attack you, just pull the pin out, and then we'll come in and help. That's the plan? It's probably one dude in a group, his job is to hold the pin in. So I'm scared for real. And I'm like, okay, I feel like God told me to go there. So I start walking in, and all the prisoners, and I got no joke. I got nothing popping up immediately. And I'm walking in, I'm trying to assess the area, and there's a whole room full of prisoners. And then they got this little spot in the middle. They're all sitting on the floor. And then they got this spot in the middle where I'm supposed to do comedy. So I'm walking in. On the outside, I look cool. You don't know that I'm scrambling looking for comedy, and I got nothing. And there's no glass, right? There's no stage. There's no glass. We're not doing comedy on the phone. These cats are right here, and I got three steps left before I got to bring something funny. Or if I settle and I get to those three steps and I got nothing, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm walking, I got two steps left. I'm like, it's cool. I'm doing the math. Seven different ways to nothing. I had one joke pop up, but I didn't feel like I should start with it. I was going to be like, you know what? You guys are a captive audience. I just want to say that, you know? I didn't feel a peace in my spirit about that one, so I'm scrambling. Seven different ways of nothing. I got one step left. I lift this foot up, nothing. I settle this foot, and for real, sitting right up front is a white dude with a white beard named Moses. I was like, thanks, Lord. When I said these words to Moses, the place exploded in laughter. We had an amazing time. I said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. When you see the prison warden, I want you to look him in his eye. You look him right in his eye, and I want you to say, let my people go. Boom. How did I get that joke that fast under that much pressure? The truth is, it wasn't as much pressure as you might think, because I've been practicing since I was a child in the form of a kid who was struggling with his reading and other things as well. I was practicing, just like you've been practicing. Maybe you didn't know you were practicing, but I'm here to let you know you've been practicing, and for a lot of you guys, it's game time. For a lot of you guys watching online, it is game time, but you have to be able to hear the coach's voice. So me and my wife were looking at some old home videos recently. It wasn't super old, it wasn't like a VHS or something. The younger people are like, what's a vahush? Whatever. So we're looking at these whole videos, and I came across a video of our youngest daughter being born. And I'm gonna show you this video. Well, I'm not gonna show you that. It's not her being born, that's just private. So let me set this up. I'm the one who took this video. I took this video, but I didn't understand the impact of it till I watched the video. So let me set it up for you. She's like 2.5 minutes old, maybe. And they got her under that little chicken warmer, you know, the thing to keep the French fries warm at the restaurant. They got one at the hospital for some reason. Anyway, so they got her under a little warmer, and she's laying there, and the nurse is about to clean her up, and she starts to cry. I want you to notice what happens when she hears my voice. Okay, Portland, look, I'm right here. It's okay, it's okay. I'm right here, I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay. It's okay, I'm right here. Right here, yeah, it's okay. It's okay, baby. Whoa. So then it's like seven and a half minutes or so later, the nurse is done cleaning her up, and then she starts to cry again. I speak up, and she stops crying again. But I want you to notice what happens when I tell her I love her.
Portland, it's okay. It's okay. It's good. It's good. It's good. I'm right here. I'm right here. I am right here. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. It's okay. It's okay.
So listen, I would imagine that being inside the mom's womb is a very comfortable place to live. But then suddenly she had to be someplace different. Like a lot of people in this room, suddenly we're someplace different. We've never dealt with a pandemic. We've never dealt with all of these things before, so now we're someplace that's way more uncomfortable. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice. Because he is talking to you. And what he wants you to know is that he's right here. He loves you. All you have to do is open your eyes. You hear some music? Oh, yeah, not yet, man. Hold on, you're too early. You're getting me emotional. I wasn't ready yet. I wasn't ready. Hold on one second, man. It's not your concert, man. Calm down. You just showed up out of nowhere. You just showed up. Hold on, I got one more song. Did y'all feel it? We was getting emotional and stuff. Like, man, what just happened? So I have one more story I want to tell y'all. But first, I'm going to tell you how I came up with the story, and then that smooth dude is supposed to slide in right there. All right, so this is a story about having a relationship with Jesus. And the way I came up with this story is I was writing a joke. Like, I was just going about what I do. I'm writing this joke about the good room. How many people know what the good room is? Raise your hand if you know what the good room is. See, there's no hands going up. Online, you know what the good room is? So I'm writing this joke about the good room. The truth is mostly all of you guys know what the good room is. The good room is that room in your grandmother's house or your aunt's house or maybe your house. It's that one room that's better than the rest of the house. Okay, nobody go in there. It's plastic on the furniture. It's really just for looks. How many people know what the good room is now? Exactly. So I'm writing this joke about the good room, and in the middle of writing this joke, God stops me and tells me to tell this story to his people. So I'm gonna tell you this story. Yeah, right now be the time to slide in, bro. Smooth. he's on point. It's perfect. So I want everyone in here. This is the story about having a relationship with Jesus. So I want everyone in here, you online as well. I want you to imagine that you are a house. Just imagine you're a house. And outside of the house is Jesus Christ. And he wants to come in. But he'll never force his way in. He actually wants you to invite him in. And the reason some people in here, the reason you haven't invited Jesus into the house is because you're cool with the way things are right now, so it would seem. Whenever you need something, whenever something's wrong or you're afraid, you walk over to the door, crack it open, say a little prayer, tell them what's wrong, and close the door and go back into the house. But that's not a relationship at all. How can you hear his voice under those circumstances? How can you fully utilize the practice under those circumstances? And the reason you won't let him into the house is because your house is a mess and you think you need to clean it up first. How's that working out for you? There may be drugs or pornography in the house, or you're doing a lot of drinking, or maybe you're just extra busy all the time, buying a bunch of stuff, volunteering all the time, trying to be distracted from the mess. Or relationships. You brought other people in the house thinking that maybe they could help you clean it up, but they can't. The only one who can clean it up is standing outside the door wearing an apron with a bucket in his hand waiting on you to truly open the door. Then there's other people in here and watching online right now. You used to have Jesus in the whole house. But whether you realize it or not, you have moved him to just one room in the house, the good room. Have you ever noticed how the good room most of the time is the one right up front with the big window? So when people look in, they think the whole house is clean. But it's not, it's just that one room. You quote scriptures, but it's just that one room. You got a Bible in your car, but it's just that one room. Jesus wants access to the whole house. And I'm telling you, if you will just open this door and let him in, he'll show up with a contractor named the Holy Spirit. And they will make sure the house is fully functioning the way it was intended to. But none of this happens if you don't truly open the door and let him in. Because he will never force his way in. He wants you to invite him in. So if everyone in here, if you could just close your eyes right now and bow your head. The reason I asked you to do this, I want you to have a private moment where no one's looking around. If you're in here right now and you know that I'm speaking to you, and you know you need to invite Jesus into your house, whether it be for the first time or to truly give him full access to the entire house, I'm gonna ask you to do something really, really simple. On the count of three, I just want you to put your hand in the air. I'm even talking to the people online right now. On the count of three, just simply put your hand in the air if you know that you need to invite Jesus into your house for the first time or to give him full access. One, two, three. Nice and high. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, go ahead and put your hands down and then look up at me. First of all, let me say this. I am proud of you. Now listen, for whatever reason, whenever I have people raise their hand, God will give me a number on how many times I need to repeat the phrase, I am proud of you, for people who are listening to really receive it. Because some of you have never heard this from a father's voice before. So I'm going to say that again, that number of times, and I need you to work on receiving it from a father's voice. I am proud of you. 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 Now, this isn't because you raised your hand. This is because of who you are. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something more. This is for everyone who raised their hand and even those who should have raised their hand. Jesus says, if you will take a stand for me before men, I will take a stand for you before my Father in heaven. So what that's going to look like on earth, what that's going to look like right here at Oak Hills Church is everyone who raised their hand, and even those who should have raised their hand, on the count of three, I'm going to want you to stand to your feet and come forward so we can pray together. When you raised your hand, you were reaching for the doorknob. Notice how the doorknob is higher because you're a child in God's eyes. You're his kid. When you raised your hand, you were reaching for the doorknob. But when you come down here and we do this prayer, you're blowing the door open so Jesus can come into the house. This is very important. If you can't do this in here where we're proud of you, you won't be able to do it out there. So again, this is for everyone who raised their hand, and even those who should have raised their hand. On the count of three, I'm going to want you to stand up and come forward so we can pray together. And to help with this, everyone around you, they're going to applaud as loud as they can, but it will not compare to the applause that the angels in heaven will be doing when you stand to your feet and come forward. One, two, three. Just stand up and come forward so we can pray together. Just stand up and come forward. 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 If you're sitting down, clap. If you're coming forward, you don't need to clap. Just receive the applause of the people around you. You guys can come forward. You can spread out all over. It's fine. You can come forward. Praise God. There's a group of folks. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, pretty little lady. Hey, pretty little lady. That's so awesome. Can you guys move in just a little more so the people behind you can? Wow. Praise God. That is awesome. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you're up front, don't clap. I just need you to work on receiving. Work on receiving. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay, they're in the aisles. I don't know how to. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. Now listen, I'm proud of you. I am proud of you. I am proud of you. I am proud of you. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do a prayer, and you're gonna be different on the inside. You'll look the same on the outside. Don't worry about that. But you're gonna be different on the inside. So we're gonna do this prayer. And before you leave today, I want you to do something a little different than you normally do. By the way, if you're watching online and you did this prayer, I want you to write into the chat, I prayed and I receive. Because then what'll happen is other people who are in the chat, they're gonna pray for you. And then we'll pray for you as well, even if your name is like Mark7025. Well, I don't know what your name is on the chat, but we'll pray for it. God knows who you are and we'll pray. So we are about to do a prayer together right now. I want you to pray with us. And then what normally happens is they bring up a white dude to make it official. That's what they always normally do. I'm sure it's one somewhere waiting around. We're laughing in the middle of a life-changing moment. God is different than you think. So I want you to repeat after me nice and loud and bold and clear. And before you leave today, I want you to do something a little different than you normally would do. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But I don't want you to do what you've always done. Because normally you come to church, you get fed, you go back and do it, get in your car. I want you to do something just a little different. Whatever it is, if it's just introducing yourself to somebody, if it's just being still in the lobby for a few moments, just do something different in the physical. Watch what God's going to do in the spiritual. Just change something now and watch what he'll do. So repeat after me, nice and loud, bold and clear. If there's a few people sitting right now, and there's like three people, you should stand up. Like, just pop up right now. Like, you know who you are. You always do this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I thought so. Okay, wow. We're good. All right. Repeat after me, nice and loud, bold and clear. Dear God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for me. Thank you, Father, that he rose again on the third day. I believe it. And I receive it. Come into my house. Come into my heart. And have your way. In Jesus' name.